Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
What?
You will be immediately kicked off this podcast if you answer incorrectly.
Aaron's squinting and glaring from his corner.
Dumbest origin ever.
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I am Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that comes up with these crazy lists that we read through, usually, but that's not the case today.
Yo, 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 this is Ben. I'm your sunshine into Gotham. Welcome back.
Holy Rainbow Batman.
I'm Aaron. Easy listening voice. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll produce and edit this, and you're listening to the Brotherhood of Batman podcast. We are three very different brothers who read Batman books, come up with themed drinks, and just kind of have fun and kind of talk. So we read an Elseworlds book this time around. It was my choice. So I kind of came up with our theme beverage for this evening.
Woo!
And I didn't make the drink I wanted to make, so I went with my backup plan. So the drink I wanted to make, I couldn't find the ingredient in my area. I had to drive all the way out to town country, and I didn't have time to do that. So,
What did you want to make?
I will make it at some point. Since we read a Batman Houdini, The Devil's Workshop, I was going to make a magic color-changing drink.
Ooh.
It was going to be pretty awesome, and I will try to feature that at some point once I can get my hands on the mystery ingredients.
Would I have enjoyed that more than what you put in front of me?
Yes, but what is in front of you now is Jim Beam's Devil's Cut 94-proof bourbon whiskey.
Smells like death.
And, you know, it kind of fits with maybe the dark theme of the Houdini book, kind of a very dark, stiff drink that both of them seem to are going to be enjoying.
I just smelled it.
If you need some paint to be thinned, you could probably do that as well.
In all of my years of enjoying adult beverages, I've never been able to enjoy the flavor of whiskey and bourbon. So cheers to try new things again.
Yeah, cheers, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Do you want a picture of my face when I drink this?
No, I want to
so
watch.
So we're coming off of our little hiatus, taking.
Hold on, I haven't drank it yet.
I don't want to do it.
You're gonna love it. It's real tasty.
Well, thanks for nothing, Aaron. Get to drink mine.
No, you guys
have shit. Is yours whiskey too?
No, I meant he gets to drink the cup that I just sipped from.
Because he's drinking mine, too. No,
yeah, Aaron and I could not have brought different beverages today.
Well,
next episode, you'll hear about mine. It's going to be fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, as I was saying, we were coming off our hiatus, our little break that we took. We're getting back into it.
Is this what gray chest hair feels like? What happened? What's happening to me?
That's going
to
be a lot more to shave off for Dre.
Should have invited Dad for this episode. I need somebody to help me drink this.
Oh, God.
It's gonna be a long episode just from us gagging. Okay, anyways, what are we doing?
It hurts.
What's the book? What's happening?
As I said, we've been coming off of We've been coming off of a break. What has been going on in your geeky little worlds lately, guys?
Ooh, I have something. So I got a board game / card game recently called Villainous. And my husband and I have spent the last, like, four nights playing it. It is a Disney game where every player is a different villain from the Disney universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a strategy-based game where you're trying to achieve different goals and defeat your heroes. And you're trying to sabotage the other villains. It's super, super fun. The playability is immense because every time we've played as a different character. So he and I haven't repeated our characters. We haven't even opened all the character cards yet.
Nice.
And we've played three games so far, but it's super fun. And if you're a Disney fan or a gaming fan, I really recommend it. Thank you, Jake, for recommending it to me a year ago and me finally listening and picking up at Target and then from you. So
very nice.
Yeah,
very
good
nice.
Times.
Good deal.
I'm glad it was as good as as you were hoping it was going to be?
Well, my husband did not enjoy it until he finally won one last night. He lost the first two games and was very cranky. He's like, this game's stupid. I was like, babe, I let you pick your villain. Like, maybe it's not stupid. Maybe you're just not very good at it.
What villains did you guys pick at first?
So we actually bought the expansion. It's like an expansion / play on your own, which just
one of
has
those evil princesses.
Yeah, basically. It has three villains. So I played as Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog, which is like a voodoo man. So it's all about how the cards work. And it's very about it being a card game.
Very cool.
David Keefe does the voice.
Yes! Goliath from the Gargoyles cartoon! Good drawing. And Josh was Hades from the Hercules movies.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, so it was fun. Hercules.
I haven't had too big. You know, we're taking care of Bat Baby and getting him growing and strong. I did this afternoon actually go to the comic book store where I have my pull and hold list to pick up the books from the last month and a half that I haven't been in to get yet.
That might be my weekend geek. Let's not speak of this.
Thank you for my new comic book.
So both of my brothers, you know, the store that we go to, All American Comics here in St. Louis, has done a great job of pulling all three of our lists and combining them and getting them ready for us each week. And there was just a little bit of a backlog to pick up. Luckily, they were willing to hold on to that until we were ready.
Yeah,
and
good place.
Some great new stuff. New Batman issues. Tom King's run is coming to an end. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I thought he was doing 100.
He's not.
He's supposed to be. He's coming and not... From what I read, it's
not my choice.
He's not being fired because he's been given a new title, Batman and Catwoman, to continue, but he's not going to be able to finish his 100 issues of the actual Batman run.
Wow.
So,
not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom will tweet you. What do you think about that?
I think the three of us, I mean, at least I know Aaron and I have been real big fans of his stuff that he's done with Batman so far.
I didn't read a lot, but I did enjoy the Bruce and Selina going on the double date with Clark and Lois. That was really solid. What I've read, I thought was really good.
I think
so. Is he going to continue his plan through the new title, do you think?
I think the Batman and Catwoman story will be able to continue through that, but I think all of the plans that he's been laying down, he has to wrap up in the next issue or two.
I don't think I could pick a better drink choice. This might be just the bourbon show.
It hurts me.
If I get through this finger and a half whiskey.
Have to drink my drink still.
So, my weekend geek,
it's so hot.
Also had I pulled some books from Jake picks them up for me, which is cool. And I got some Batman Deceased 2, some Bad Luck Chuck, and some other Batman Detective Comics, which is good.
What is Bad Luck Chuck? Have you talked about
I think
that?
I explained it a little bit. She's like a private
investigator
who like causes trouble by just bad luck, and she uses that to her advantage.
Is her name Chuck?
It's like where Chuck can be in the nickname for it.
Gotcha.
So I picked those up. My kids and I and my wife were out, and we tried to stop at a comic shop, not around here, and I won't name the name, but we pull into the parking lot during their normal hours. They had a sign on the door that says be back in 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And we waited about 10, and then I left. And it's unfortunate for that said business because I had the kids, and I would have let them pick out at least an issue or two or a trade. Yeah. And so, you know, I get if you're going to run down somewhere, but, you know, my recommendation is have somebody there.
Yeah. Many stores are run by, you know, one guy who... Yeah. Like, I get that, but if you're going to post that you're going to be back in 10 minutes, be back in 10 minutes. Like, if you're saying, I'm sorry, close for the afternoon, then
no, I have no problem if you close. Yeah, that's cool, but you know, we waited a good 10 minutes past the sign.
And posting. Who knows how long they were gone before you showed up.
Right.
That's a bummer.
So, when we were growing up...
Somebody else showed up after us, too, and tried the door, and it was locked, and I don't know if he went down.
Yeah, that's multiple sales they lost.
I want to know the store.
Especially in this... I know. As soon as we stop recording, please tell us what store it is. Like, we live in a economy right now that people aren't buying a lot of things in stores. I mean, obviously, we talked before that comic shops are getting more popular now. It's getting a resurgence, if you will. But retail in general is not doing well, so it's a bummer that they had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to drink this. I already feel my face, like, heated.
So we read Batman Houdini, The Devil's Workshop by Howard
Yep.
Chaykin? I can't even read that.
Glad
John
he's
Moore.
He's got to do that name because I would not have been able
Mark
to.
Chiarello. And it's...
You did a good job, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks. It's a scientific romance of Harry Houdini, the ectoplasmic man, and the shadowy Avenger, the Batman.
All right.
And I'm reading that straight from the book.
Before you recap, what the hell is an ectoplasm man?
An ectoplasmic man is, think about ectoplasmic as spiritual Ghostbusters. Yes. I know some of the mythos or the, some of the
Harry Houdini.
Harry Houdini, yeah. I know some of the history of Houdini. I've read some of his biographies and things, and there's a lot of interesting.
Wasn't this one of his biographies?
Parts of it actually are.
Oh.
But, yeah. So anyway, it takes place with Houdini in the world of Gotham, and Bruce returning once again from some expedition that he's on, and he's coming back to Gotham, and there's a Joker-like creature who is kidnapping children, a theme that we've seen in some books.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. Jerry.
In a bowler hat.
Yeah. And so it's told mostly through the point of view of Houdini. Yeah. Batman is not really present in terms of the storytelling aspects of this in a lot of ways. And so it goes through Houdini meeting up with Batman, his relationship, them trying to solve this crime basically together. Any thoughts on that? That's about to sum it up, I think.
The whiskey's not that does growing sum it on up. Me.
The whiskey's great. So
No, that was a good recap.
What are your thoughts on this book? It's very art style-wise. It seemed very watercolorish.
Yeah. It's
which I thought was a different style than definitely what we had read last week with Flash and what Ben chose with the Marvel-DC mashup.
It's a one-shot from 1993. It has a very similar atmosphere and tone than to Gotham by Gaslight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very much.
Even character design of Batman. Like,
wasn't that the last one you picked?
That was my other Elseworlds choice. I like Dark.
Everything I own.
I mean, you could almost consider this to exist in the same world. Like what they've set up for Batman here could carry over from there. You know, there's a lot of discussion about him not really being a member of society because he's rich and he's a playboy and, you know, a lot of the themes that they set down in Gaslight. But you mentioned the watercolor. This actually was nominated for best art.
Really?
For a painted comic in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of the imagery. I thought the art was cool. There were a couple times throughout the story that I was a little confused about the action of the art.
Yes.
Not a lot. Like overall, I was like, "Oh, this is."
Like what part? What are you talking about?
Like pretty early.
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing. I think the beginning,
like the train and the crash and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was confusing. Oh, and are you talking about the
just
red
like
overcast? Anytime
there was like action happening, like the way people were moving. If it was just like an image of someone smiling or an image of people conversing, I thought it was good. But the times that there was like jumping around or people punching, or I feel like since it is more of a painting, we didn't get a lot of the action shots. Really.
I would agree. Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad. It just took me a little moment to get it all. Well,
there's a lot of exposition of character discussion and detective work and everything. And then when it does get into the action moments, it almost feels like there are a few panels that are missing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like there's a big jump from a horse-drawn carriage going, and then it crashes, and then it explodes. Mm-hmm. Like, all those pieces weren't laid out. You have a horse charge carriage, and then it explodes. I'm like, okay, well, how did that happen?
I think it was
like,
probably from the style. They were picking and choosing what they wanted to focus on.
Yes, I think they wanted it to be more of a psychological drama than a
action.
You know, a fist-to-cuff mm-hmm. action story.
So I actually really enjoyed Houdini in this. I liked his character a lot. I didn't care a lot about Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batman seemed more secondary. He doesn't know a lot of the detective skills. Mm-hmm. Like Houdini's like laughing at him in parts because he can't even open a door.
Right,
or,
he can't pick a lock.
Pick a lock and stuff. So that part was cool. I actually kind of was disappointed with the Houdini displayed.
Right.
There wasn't like, you know, you think of Houdini, you think of escapes and magic.
Right.
There wasn't hardly any of that in there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of it in the opening.
A little.
And then he is good at picking locks.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, I liked
they
his
didn't
like
emphasize.
I felt he was good at driving the story.
Yeah, I think his narration and his dialogue was good. I thought I was looking forward to like some big, like they have him upside down in one of his water chambers right. on the cover.
Yeah.
And I was expecting, oh, there's going to be a cool scene where maybe Batman's got to rescue him. And he's
all
gotta,
you
like,
really see is when he, yeah, like, so it, he talks about the trick of expanding his chest or whatever when you're mm-hmm. tied up. So he frees Batman and him being tied up.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you see him practicing a trick on a rooftop at the beginning.
Yeah, where you're
down.
Supposed to maybe think it's a giant man bat hanging from yeah.
right.
the roof, but it's Houdini in a straitjacket.
Yeah. And that's really all we got. And then he yeah. does a lot of lockpicking. But now the one thing that, at least early on how I read it, he says it's not magic. He like says it's a...
Right,
he
right.
says like, this is the technique I do. These
right,
are the
it's endurance
I have.
And... Yeah,
yeah, and that so was part of in his actual storyline. There's a good biography. I don't... remember the name of it, but I think it was Houdini. But he Batman? It goes in it was not Batman. It goes into some of that and how like the taking a punch is real because he would have people do that, and the only time he actually got hurt from that and one of what led up to part of his death, not the actual cause, was not prepping himself before somebody took a hit at him.
Yeah, it was just like a guy in the crowd.
Mm, something like that. But yeah, there's some good parts of the Houdini story in here. Like the seances, that all
right.
Was,
yeah, what I like
all historically parts of that are historically accurate in terms of Houdini trying to find connection to the spirit world and trying to make contact. That's actually part of that is actually true.
Were right? the vampires historically accurate?
The vampires were not. Well, no, but the seance part, he and his wife actually had like a deal where they came up with a code word where one of them passed away, the other would go to a seance and use that code word and try to get the spirit of the
cool.
other one to connect to them, and that obviously never happened.
So now I have a question. So
as spiders, tail of a rat, call in the spirits wherever they're at.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful. I have a question. So the Joker character, they refer to him as the albino a lot, and he like falls supposedly to his death. Was he also a vampire, and therefore we're led to believe that character is like still alive?
No, they.
I think he was.
They said that he.
They call him
the
familiar.
They like, they refer to him as Mad Jack Schadenfreude.
Right.
Which Schadenfreude is pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Yeah, I looked that
which,
up too.
Yeah, which totally describes
I did not
the Joker.
Look that up.
Well, and his name being Jack, that's mm-hmm. the name that they yeah. often give the Joker as his first name. But no, I think he was a human doing the bidding for who ends
the
up being
the Beef Baron, or
the Beef Baron who ends up being a vampire.
You may have not liked my third choice of a drink, which included beef broth in. Whatever the beverage was.
Okay, so Aaron doesn't get to pick beverages anymore. Beef broth?
Yeah, there were some drinks that were included beef broth, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. That's drawing a line there.
But when I first started reading and they introduced
that
this,
draws the line.
This version of the Joker, I was like, ooh, like that was one of the things that I really wanted to happen in Gotham by Gaslight. Like, give me some characterizations set in this world of characters we're familiar with. And so I was really excited when they did the Joker, and then the wind got kind of taken out of my sails when Jack is revealed to be doing the bidding for somebody else. I'm like, Joker would never be somebody.
Yeah,
stooge.
No, he would never. Yeah.
But they make Jack his own character. I mean, he's this deranged psycho who, when the vampires are draining these humans of their blood, Jack might be nibbling on their fingers like he's a cannibal, and you know he isn't scarred. They don't talk about him being scarred or deformed.
Just
he's just an albino with a very creepy smile that works in a meatpacking factory. And
yeah, I thought the world was pretty. I felt that was believable. I thought that we got an idea of who this Batman is and what this world is he's living in, without a lot of explanation. I had some issues with the time period.
Yeah.
Just because
the possible racism.
The extreme racism.
Yeah.
You mean calling Alfred boy?
Calling Alfred boy and
well,
then,
Alfred was a African American.
Yes, yes. But then also there was stuff about Houdini being Jewish and all things that in the time period are accurate, but that doesn't make them okay. And with it being a book written in 1983, I'm like, okay, things weren't as sensitive then. So it just brings up the question of like, what do you change about history, or how do you adjust it, or how do you present it in a way that it's sensitive or not going to make certain readers feel icky, yeah. Especially with the female stuff.
Yeah.
They made Vicky Vale, which shout out to Vicky Vale, but they made Vicky Vale strong, but then there's points where they're like, oh, but at the end of the day, she's still a woman. Like some line similar to that.
Yeah, there's some not so great lines in there.
And I'm like, you can explain it away, quote unquote, with like, it's from the 20s. I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't written in the 20s.
Right.
And to be a broken record, it's a comic by men for men. So I felt a little, I don't know, I felt some kind of way about that. Overall, though, I did like the book. I just felt a little gross.
I think there's something to be said for being historically accurate on the way that people treated other people at a time.
Well, the word they use for Houdini is not appropriate
right.
to say out loud right now.
It gets to be a very gray area when you're in a fantasy fiction piece. You know, we're already supposed to dispel our belief because there are vampires and there's a man dressed as a bat, but now you're using these very real, very serious words and tones for the way that people were treating other people, and that is kind of hard to swallow sometimes, because it's very jarring. You're like, I'm willing to go to this place with you, but you're going to shake me a little bit more than I'm wanting to be. I felt the same way.
I just think it's a taste level. Like, I think you can set something in the 20s and not go there. But again, it was written in 93 when things weren't as sensitive. So there's a lot of back and forth on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I was a little put off by it, but I read it in terms of that time period.
For
and
sure.
I think you mentioned the term referred to by Houdini, which is a not polite term for a Jewish person, which... I agree with what you're saying. I think they toned it down somewhat for the book as opposed to things that they maybe could have said. I don't like the portrayal, and I think they didn't necessarily need to have it in here. So I'm not sure on that choice. But
that was a thing for him. He was a Jewish man.
He did have to go through that, so maybe they're trying to historically.
And he did embrace the American way of life.
I'm nodding. Listeners can't see that I'm nodding.
So it's just a slippery slope.
I just don't know if it added to the story. Because for me, it was the only real thing that took me out of it.
I agree. Yeah.
But.
Here, Aaron, your drink looks empty. Would you like mine?
Finish it.
Finish it.
But I have to drive home.
So
tornadoes.
Going back to the things that we did like, and talking about Houdini a little bit more, where they didn't do a lot of his escapism or his illusions, they did do his wanting to debunk the mysticism and the seances.
I took three drinks, Aaron.
That's
tried.
Fine. I'll drink yours.
I really like that when Houdini meets Batman, he immediately recognizes him as Bruce.
Yeah.
Wayne,
yeah, I thought
who
that
he
was
had met
cool.
earlier. He's like, yeah, you're not going to fool me, guy. Like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
He was very intelligent and.
And he kept calling him vaudeville. Like, he was putting on an act and he was.
Oh, I did like all that. All the theater talk and all the different.
Yeah.
Like,
there's some good. There are some really good points to the
for
book.
For sure.
Yeah.
And he talks about Batman's costume being like a costume, an outfit. And so there's a point where they jump out of an airplane. And he's like, oh, I was making fun of Batman's outfit earlier, but now I wish I had a cape.
The Wright Brothers reference was fun about how they got it flying, but how the hell are you going to land this thing?
Right.
And they end up not, and it crashes, and Bruce is like, I got money. It's all right. Houdini's like, okay.
And I liked, I can't remember the exact part, but they're at it's the other people that are at the seance, I think, right? And they introduce him as Mr. Queen, Mr. Constantine, and Mrs. Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you know, you got Oliver Queen, you got Constantine from the DC. They're bringing actual DC.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Characters in.
Huh.
That was clever. Yeah, I did not register that. I did like some of the class stuff going on with this. Like, there was a lot of things about Bruce having money and people with money, and we got to see the contrast with Houdini not necessarily coming from money, but having a skill and a talent. So I thought it all read well. This isn't my style of book, obviously. If you've listened at all, you know that at this point. But when I picked it up, I was a little like hesitant, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to. Really, the only thing that rubbed me funny was some of the dated time period, which I get it's accurate, yeah. but that's the only thing, really.
Yeah.
I would like to know how Houdini survived jumping out of the airplane. Can you guys answer that for me? Because
it was a trick.
He's commenting on the way down. He's like, oh, if only I had a cape to slow my fall like Batman.
Where
was that? How does he not die when he falls out of the airplane?
We don't know how high they were. We don't know how fast
so
they
as were.
Going.
As I'm looking for that, Jake, you mentioned the ectoplasmic man.
Yes.
That is actually a crossover story of Sherlock Holmes and Watson. They did a story with Houdini in the story, and it was called, I think it was called The Ectoplasmic Man.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. It was like a mystery story. So, that may be where that came from, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Could you imagine if that was a superhero's name? Ectoplasmic Man. Go. Yeah,
probably is somewhere.
I'm sure.
What did he say? Follow me. After all his mockery of, all my mockery of his circus suit antics, how I wish that moment for a cape to slow my fall. Yeah, he landed in the tree? I don't know.
Okay. That's what I had assumed.
Yeah,
I was like, okay,
I mean,
he jumps in
from
the tree
fairly
breaks his fall.
High. I don't know. Maybe he tensed his body up enough.
You said y'all wanted some more magic. There's your magic. Just
I think that's a plot
hole. Right. He could have fallen in the water.
Oh, anyway.
They're like over this rocky, icy lake. It's like, don't walk on or don't skate on this thin ice. And then he unveils an airplane. I'm like, but the airplane's just on the ice.
Right. Why would like, he park the airplane on the river? Like,
it's probably next to it.
I didn't understand that either. So we talked briefly last episode about the new casting for Batman being the kid from Twilight.
Oh my god, did you read this as if it was him?
No. But now
oh my god, I'm gonna
vampire?
Read every Batman thing now. Sorry, go ahead, say it.
Well,
are you Team Jacob?
So there are a lot of stories that involve
or whatever.
Who wasn't Team Jacob? Jacob was hot. Not my brother, the werewolf.
I am hot.
Oh, whatever. No, the
Drink
werewolf
whiskey,
was
Jake.
Way hotter than the vampire.
It,
in that
it's making my face
franchise.
Very warm.
Free comic if you finish it.
Whoa, give me, what comic? Is that just for Jake? Do you have a comic for me?
No, I don't have a comic for either of
you. Oh, bitch.
Oh, it's so strong. So strong, but I love comics.
I don't want a future prize. I want a prize I can see right now.
How do you guys feel about all of the vampire tie-ins with Batman? Do you think vampires are a good fit for Batman?
I think it's an easy fit. I feel like...
Yeah, it's an easy Gotham. Fit with the bat and...
Because there's at least two Elseworlds books about Dracula and like I think Batman becomes a vampire for a while.
Interesting.
I don't know.
What do you think of his outfit in this book?
Next season.
I really like trench coat Batman.
I like trench coat Batman
I totally
too.
Dig it.
Yeah.
I wish instead of like just like short cuff driver gloves, like anytime he reaches out, like his trench coat sleeve pulls up and he just has these little skimpy driver gloves on. Like I wish he had like gauntlets. That was my only complaint.
Well,
like,
yeah,
I
could practical.
See that.
What was Alfred commenting on about his purchase or his weird purchase earlier?
I think it was the airplane.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if it was like the cowl. I was like, there's not much
because
of an
they
outfit.
Were talking about coming back from the North Carolina or whatever, and then they later on he said the brothers, the Wright brothers in North Carolina had succeeded at that. So.
Gotcha, good deal. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, I did like their play on the shaman story, which had come out before this. So when this version of Bruce Wayne is telling Houdini about how he became Batman, he actually, after his parents' death, he was lost. And so he went and joined up in the war and was in Cuba with Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah,
got
yeah.
shot, and it was an Indian priest.
I thought I made notes of that somewhere in here.
That ended up bringing him back with
right,
the bat.
So there
totem.
Was mythical
yeah. yeah, I did see.
Happening.
I did. I thought I had written that, but yeah.
So it was a lot of those little things that really kind of pulled this together for me. I think I'm going to jump right into my review, guys. I think if I had read this book a year ago before we started this, I would have been disappointed and may not have even finished it. This book's been in my collection for a while, and there was nothing really that had.
Oh,
super
so we achieved Sarah's goal of having you actually read something from your collection.
Yeah, both of the
Sarah,
books.
Sarah, I get a book.
Both of the Elseworld books you guys chose, I already owned, and I mean, one of them I had read multiple times, and one of them I had not. But this one I had not, and I'm glad we read it now. I'm glad I had the background from this podcast to put those pieces together to notice those little things. I like Houdini as a character in comics. There's a Spawn story he shows up in.
Oh, really?
Very, very similar to this.
Nice.
But I kind of agree that I wanted a little bit more escapism.
Yeah.
A little bit more of his magic side.
Well, there's the metaphorical escapism of reading comic books where you get to dive into a world, Jake. Is that not enough of escapism for you?
Just drink my whiskey.
Ben, you want to give your review?
I think I've kind of said it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I was rubbed a little funny by some of the time period things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't hate it. I didn't rush. I would agree with Jake that if we weren't doing the podcast, I never would have read this book. So it's kind of fun to get to experience new things that, you know, with my brothers.
Aww,
it's
so sweet.
The whiskey speaking. Three sips and I'm like, woo!
But yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody who's like a Houdini fan or if you like the Elseworlds world, this fits in.
Well, I chose it. I bought the book thinking I like Houdini, I like Batman when I bought it. I was a little disappointed, to be honest, in terms of the Houdini aspect of bringing some of that magic in. I thought there'd be something cooler than there was. But I did like how he was portrayed and some of the seance story and some of the historical accuracies. I didn't like some of what Ben had mentioned and touched on with, you know, taking a little far with some of the historical stuff. Batman, I thought, was kind of more of a side piece. I did like his trench coat and his outfit and his other stuff. I would have probably read it whether we did the podcast or not, but having, like, discussing it and talking about some of the other aspects of it, I think it, you know, having had read some of the other stuff, I think it makes it more sense.
Yeah, and I think there's some good talking points in this book that, you know, I was texting my brothers earlier that, you know, I had been up late with the baby multiple nights in a row, and so I was trying to get through our books for tonight to record, and I kept falling asleep. And so the first half of this book was a little fuzzy for me, but the second half I thought was really strong.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
All right. So last week I asked you guys a trivia question while we had our guest star Helena Handbag on. So I'm going to review that question and see what you guys think is the answer. So
Lipton.
No, it's not Lipton. It's not Darjeeling. It's not Earl Grey. It's Lapsang Dejong.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that one.
Something or other? No, wait.
This writer.
The B-A-T.
This writer met DC Comics publisher Jeanette Kahn after writing a Flash movie script that he failed to sell. What is the writer's name?
So it didn't sell very fast. Is that what you're saying?
Aaron, what's the speed force? Wait, what's the question? What's the question?
Who wrote a Flash movie that did not sell to Warner Brothers?
When was
Barry
it?
Allen.
When? No. When
Wally
was
West.
No. When was it written?
It doesn't tell me. Aaron, what is your guess?
I have no idea.
You have to name someone.
Harry Houdini.
God damn it.
Joss Whedon.
No, it's Jeff Loeb.
Oh, that makes sense. Jeff, has he written movies?
Has he written Flash stuff?
He wrote Batman and Batman, Batman and Superman. Oh no, he's a writer. He wrote the movie Teen Wolf. What is the title of the first comic to feature the Elseworlds logo on its cover? Now you guys may be thinking this is a trick question because we know Gotham by Gaslight is the first Elseworlds book. I'm gonna give you a hint. It's not that.
Let me do a quick Google search.
If you would like to take a guess at what the trivia answer might be this week, or if you would just like to reach out to us and let us know what you're liking or disliking about the podcast, we are easy to find on Facebook at the Brotherhood of Batman podcast.
On Instagram at the Brotherhood of Batman.
And Twitter at BrotherHDBatman, and send us an email at BrotherhoodofBatman@gmail.com.
We'd really like to hear from you guys. We've got a strong listenership, but it can always grow.
All
so
four of us.
Yeah, there's more than four.
It's all good.
We appreciate all 17 of you. Thank you.
That's good. We're having fun.
And we hope you are. And if there's something that you guys would like us to review on in Elseworlds or in continuity, or you just want to, you know, just say, hey, I like Batman too, let us know.
All right.
I like Batman. Batman's great.
Batman is great.
It's that time again.
Oh, Jake finished his whiskey. Give him another shot.
It's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we
turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of Batman. Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Where is Bat Baby?
I think Bat Baby's sleeping.
He's in his cave.
Aw.
Aaron, what lesson did we learn?
Lesson we learned is the trench coat pulls it all together.
Oh, that's true. It does. It's more practical than a cape, too.
Pulls it all together.
The trench coat, yeah. It's easy to throw on and off, and
well,
you can
hide your...
It
could be buttoned up in the front.
But he had a cape. Houdini said he had a cape.
It talks about his coat as a cloak.
Oh.
Yeah. All
right. Well, if you guys are reading along with us, we are doing Ben's choice for Elseworlds next week. Ben, what are we reading?
DC vs. Marvel, an insane miniseries from some crazy people from 1996. And I am so excited to make my beverage. So goodbye. I'm your sunshine into Gotham. I'm Ben.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I had nothing to do with these two choices. So,
so that may be why you like them.
Ooh,
and I'm here.
Fist bump it, burn! Suck it, Jake.
I'm Aaron. I'll produce this mess. Take it easy.
Hopes have been his plans. This city's way.